journey into a world where nightmare becomes reality.
You're listening to The World of Horror, and my name's Andy. Today's movie is a movie called Nomads from 1986. It's an American horror film. And to categorize this movie, I would say it's like a supernatural horror film. The movie was directed by John McTiernan, and he is most well known for directing Predator in 1987 and Die Hard in 1988, and also The Hunt for Red October in 1990. He also directed Last Action Hero in 93 and Die Hard with a Vengeance in 95. This was actually based on a novel with the same name of Nomads that was written by Chelsea Quinn Yarborough. She was known for writing a series of historical horror novels about the vampire Count Saint Germain, several novels in that series. So John McTiernan actually also wrote the screenplay for this movie. And the movie stars Pierce Brosnan, which I think he'll be very recognizable to most people. He's an Irish actor and film producer. He was the fifth actor to play James Bond, and he starred in four films from 1995 to 2002, including GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, and Die Another Day. And a lot of people also saw him in the comedy Mrs. Doubtfire. The movie also stars Leslie Ann Down. She's a British actress, singer, and former model. She was in a film called Countess Dracula in 1971. It's a British Hammer horror film. That's about her only other horror credit. And we also have Anna Maria Monticelli, who's an Australian actress, screenwriter, and producer. Well, it looks like this is her only notable horror film. And we also have the singer Adam Ant playing a role in this movie. He led the band Adam and the Ants in the early 80s. Then he began his solo career, and he has had hits like Goody Two Shoes. His biggest contribution in music was probably his pioneering use of videos in the early 80s. And we also have Mary Woronov in this movie. And she was in, I've talked about her before, because she was in a movie called Silent Night, Bloody Night. So that's cool to see her again. And we also have Frank Doubleday. He was Romero in Escape from New York. And he was also the White Warlord in Assault on Precinct 13th, so he's got some credits along with John Carpenter, so that's kind of cool to see. And there was a nun in this movie that was portrayed by Frances Bay, and I recognize her. She has a very recognizable face. She's most well known for Happy Gilmore. She was Happy's grandmother, and she's been on a lot of TV show episodes and just a lot of movies too besides that. So when you see the movie, you will recognize her face. She was in Seinfeld as Mabel Choate for some episodes there. So, like I said, she's this very recognizable face. You'll recognize her. Another interesting thing on the soundtrack, Ted Nugent actually played guitar for a lot of the songs on the soundtrack. And this movie has a really cool score. And John McTiernan actually scored his gig to direct Predator because Arnold Schwarzenegger saw this movie and was really impressed with the film's atmosphere and the fact that it was also made on a low budget, so that he convinced the producers of Predator to hire John McTiernan. And this is also Pierce Brosnan's first leading role in a feature film. Pierce Brosnan's role was actually supposed to be played by French actor Gerard Depardieu, but when he declined the role, Brosnan, who was an Irish actor, and at the time he's only known for his popular TV series Remington Steele from 82 to 87, when he was approached about the role, he immediately agreed to play it, believing that in order to avoid being typecast for the rest of his career, he needed to prove that he can play roles other than English rogues and gentlemen. John McTiernan actually has a small cameo in the movie. He is the voice of the professor from Boston that we hear over a phone call. This film is included in the book Fangoria's 101 Best Horror Movies You've Never Seen. Classic film noir star and screen queen Nina Foch of the 40s and 50s crime and horror films by Columbia Pictures appears in the beginning of the film as a real estate agent. The movie was largely filmed in and around Santa Monica, California, and also Los Angeles. The film was released in the United States on March 7th, 1986, and grossed a total of just over $2 million. The taglines for the film is a terrifying story of the supernatural. If you've never been frightened by anything, you'll be frightened by this. A chilling tale of supernatural evil. A nightmare by daylight. And the tribe of the dead stalking the living.
Colin was only here for a little while, but they did a good deal to the house.
It started out to be their dream house.
What do you think, huh?
A place to call their own. A home too good to be true. With a secret more horrifying than you can ever imagine.
Run from anything in your life. Run from this.
They are here. They are a nightmare. But they are as real as the terror you feel.
They're nomads. Nomads. Here now in this city, in the middle of a modern city.
Leslie Ann Down and the star of Remington Steele, Pierce Brosnan, like you've never seen him before, in a terrifying story of the supernatural. If you've never been frightened by anything, you will be frightened by Nomads.
So to get into the plot, we have our, I don't think that Pierce Brosnan is meant to be the main character in the story, but he is the most well-known. But in the movie, the character is called Jean-Charles Pommier, and he's a French anthropologist. And at the beginning of the movie, we first are introduced to Dr. Eileen Flax, who's a doctor in the hospital. We're introduced to her waking up in the break room at the hospital. She's on a 30-hour shift. And she's trying to take a nap in between patients. And she gets called to go down to the ER because they have a patient who is in a really bad shape, badly injured, but is just speaking in French. But anyway, they need her help in the ER to help treat him. So she goes down to the ER, and he is just going crazy. He's restrained on his stretcher, and he's trying to fight against his restraints and yelling and screaming. But when she comes down there, he kind of seems to calm down. Not really sure why. Maybe just her presence is calming to him. But he sits up abruptly while she's treating him, and he whispers something. He kind of grabs her and whispers something in her ear, and then he immediately dies at that point. So it's all very mysterious. We don't know what's really going on with this guy. So Eileen, the doctor, Dr. Flax, she kind of gains his memories somehow. She starts having these visions of his life. For the last week of Pommier's life, she has visions of that, of those memories. And so what we find out about Pommier, the anthropologist, was that he did a lot of traveling abroad and studying religious beliefs and spiritual rituals of non-Western cultures. But now before he died, he decided to move to Los Angeles with his wife and to teach at UCLA. His wife's name is Nikki. So they decided to rent a house in the suburbs of LA. They discover one night that their house was vandalized by this gang of punks in this black van. And they spray paint pigs, kill, sex, random words on their garage door in red, and it really disturbs his wife. But it's interesting because Pommier is kind of interested in these punks. And also in this garage, they kind of find out that, they're very interested in his house, and he doesn't quite know why. He finds this kind of a makeshift shrine in his garage, and there's some newspaper clippings on the shrine, and they find out that his house was a scene of a murder. And it turns out that there was a murder that took place in his house. Two girls that lived there were killed. So he finds that these punks are attracted to his house, or drawn to his house because of this event, that this murder that's happened there. And they're just like very morbid, I guess. And so they, for some reason, they've spray painted Hero in the garage, and they've got this little makeshift shrine, like I said. But Pommier is fascinated by these punks. And so he studies them. He actually kind of follows them around, trying to kind of covertly follow them so they don't know he's there. And I guess he sees some similarities in their culture to some other nomads that he studied abroad. And so he, like I said, begins to observe them, and he takes photographs of them. And he's really just fascinated by these punks because they don't live anywhere. They just are constantly driving around in their van, just going from one place to the next. They're partying each place they go. They go, and they never sleep. He never sees them sleep at all. So he takes pictures, you know, like I say, he's taking pictures of these punks, and he kind of like witnesses them kill somebody at one point, and he calls out to them, and they start chasing after him. I'm not really sure why he did that. But anyway, he runs away from them and ends up getting away from them, he seems like. But he really kind of seems like he's being haunted now by these people that are punks, that he thinks are just like these punk rock people, but they may be more than what they seem. And so it's kind of interesting how his anthropological background comes, kind of informs him on the nature of these people or what he thinks are people. And it's an interesting theme of this movie. There's a character that talks about how people don't realize like 100% of what they see may not actually be there. Like if you see like a bunch of people walking down a street, not all of them may be people. And we don't really think about that, but it's kind of an interesting theme about how the supernatural world can kind of intertwine with our world. There's some kind of parallel world that's unseen by us that has a supernatural aspect to it. And I think Clive Barker writes stories very much like this, and he's very good at it, writing about people that kind of stumble upon these otherworldly entities that exist in a parallel world and or in another dimension, and how, you know, they kind of explore this other world, and, you know, it could be really bad, or it's usually really bad for the people that go to explore this other dimension and whatever, these other beings. And so we kind of see the same kind of storyline in this movie, where an anthropologist is studying these people that he's fascinated by, but they're more than what they seem to be. It's interesting, the storytelling is interesting in this movie because it's all done through flashbacks that this Dr. Eileen Flax is seeing. She's just seeing, because at this point in the movie, Pommier, the anthropologist, he's actually dead, but she is reliving the last week of his life. And so she is seeing all these things that happened to him. So, you know, so as the story goes on, we kind of see that the punks, Pommier, discovers who they really are. And it just kind of leads them down this rabbit hole of this weirdness and kind of this spiritual torment. And we kind of see how it's affecting the doctor now, how she's kind of somehow it's been passed on to her, this, I don't know, like what are these memories. And so like there's like an attachment to her now because of these memories that she possesses now that these punk people, these punk rockers, these whatever you want to call them, I don't want to say too much to spoil the movie, but they are then drawn to her. And so now it's her problem. She has to try to figure out a way to kind of get rid of them. And also really got Lost Boys vibes and Candyman vibes from this movie. Just like kind of like the folklore aspect, and Lost Boys just kind of like the punk subculture kind of thing. We see that in that movie. It's a lot more overt in Lost Boys than it is in this movie. Whereas in Lost Boys, it's like super deadly, like vampires that they're going to like try to kill you. Or in this movie, in Nomads, it's a little bit more subtle. It's more of a spiritual nature thing. They're still harmful too. But you know, as far as Candyman goes, it just has that kind of like folklore kind of feel to it. And it almost like reality is kind of like breaking to a point, and you kind of start to question your sanity. But this movie, like you can really tell it was made in the 80s. The soundtrack is really cool. It's just like, it's just very much 80s. The score is like 80s music all the way. You know, the punk rocker look is very much from the 80s. So I love it. I just love the aesthetic of this movie and just kind of the atmosphere of this movie. It has a very atmospheric kind of feel to it. And it has some trippy visuals. There's not a lot of special effects in this movie, but it has some really cool editing and some cool camera work. And also the use of lighting really gives this film kind of an eerie atmosphere to it. So I think that this movie is worth a watch. It is a slow burn, but I really think it's worth it to kind of see Pierce Brosnan in like a different role, and to kind of see some of these other cameos like Adam Ant and the guy from Escape from New York. It's kind of cool to see them in different roles, and it's just an interesting story to me too. So I watched this movie on Shudder as the HD version. It looks great. It sounds great. You can also see it on Tubi if you don't mind the ads. And it's on Plex. Oh, it's on Shout Factory TV for free. The HD version's on the Roku channel. Or you can rent it from like Amazon Prime or Apple TV. But like I said, I watched it on Shudder. It's a really good, you know, it's HD version, so it looks really good on there. And I give this film a thumbs up. I think it's for fans of, if you like slow burn movies, if you like kind of like ghost type movies, if you love the 80s, if you're like a big fan of the 80s or the like the punk subculture in the 80s, like the street punks or whatever, if you're into that kind of stuff, I think this will be right up your alley. If you're into like anthropology, folklore, any of that kind of stuff, I think this will be up your alley. So, and I don't know, like this probably isn't like a hardcore horror movie. There's not like a lot of kills in it or anything like that. Like I said, it's very much a slow burn. So I would still recommend it. I enjoyed this movie. And I also want to let you know that I was just on the episode of the All Things Dave podcast where we talked about the 1981 slasher My Bloody Valentine. I had a lot of fun with that, so look that up and check that out if you're into that movie at all. We have like a pretty in-depth conversation about that movie. So once again, my name's Andy, and you're listening to The World of Horror.